we've become so media literate and cynical about advertising that we have our guard up. So what documentary sales videos do is they share these real stories and real situations, things that have actually happened. So you can't dispel or dismiss that. And if these stories are well told, they really make an impact and affect people.
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko.
James Schranko.
Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome back to Superfast Business. I really appreciate you listening in to these podcasts, and I'm always interested in getting your feedback, so be sure to comment if you enjoy this. I bring these stories to you because I'm really interested in you growing your business, and I love to, you know, report on what's working in my business. Now, today, we're going to develop this concept that I've been talking about quite a bit, and that is bringing stories and documentaries into your marketing. In a world where there's a lot of sales skepticism, where there's a lot of cheesy commercials, and in some cultures, perhaps the UK market, the Australian market, where we're not so hype-driven and not so celebrity endorsement-driven as other markets, perhaps the North American market, I think the real stealth weapon, the real way to move someone to get a message across these days is to make story-based documentary videos and to put them on your website and to make them the feature, the heart of your marketing message, and to let that do the heavy lifting. So to get this concept locked in from a professional and educational point of view, I've called upon one of my repeat guests here, Ryan Spanger from Dream Engine. Welcome.
Thank you, James. Great to be here with you on the podcast.
Now, we've talked about filmmaking before. We talked about director's eye and framing shots and audio and video and lighting technology. Now we're going to take it to the next stage where we talk about why we like documentaries, what sort of projects we've been working on, and what sort of impact they've had. Because I know that there's been a number of projects that both you and I have worked on recently that we've seen tremendous results from. So I think we should firstly just define, what are we talking about when we're talking about a documentary sales video?
Okay, absolutely. And yeah, we've covered the technical side of how to make a video, and we're going to talk more about the storytelling side. So, yeah, what is a documentary sales video? It's basically a hybrid of a documentary that people are familiar with from TV and film and the traditional internet marketing style videos that your listeners would have seen a lot of. So with that traditional sales video, basically you have one guy looking at the camera. It's often shot with a webcam. Often there's bad lighting and sound, and it's very salesy. It's very much a hard sell type of videos. And I mean, these videos still work. They obviously do, or people wouldn't make them. But I think increasingly audiences are becoming more cynical about this sort of style. Like you mentioned in the introduction, the traditional hard sell just isn't working as well. And so now with the rise of content marketing and social media, it's obvious that audiences are more interested in information, stories, having a dialogue, and much more into being real. So there's a new style of storytelling now, which is documentary sales videos.
So how do they actually work?
Well, there's some big differences between the documentary sales videos and the traditional videos. And kind of one of the first things is that in documentary sales videos, the person on the video is actually looking to the side of the camera rather than directly into the camera. So they're less confrontational. They're more about storytelling and less about hard and fast facts. So they're much more about emotion. And the other important thing is that they're much more natural rather than scripted. So the whole idea in a documentary sales video is capturing a story, either the story of the business owner or stories of people who have used the product or service, and capturing those stories in a natural, uncontrived sort of way. So, I mean, I think that the way that they work is that they work just like a real-life interaction. So what's one of the main things people do when they're researching to make a purchase? They speak to friends or associates, you know, people who they consider to be experts and whose opinion they trust, and you know, people who they empathize with and relate to. So, for instance, when I was looking at subscribing to some online software, like Infusionsoft, for example. I spoke to my friend Steve because I relate to him. He's got a service business just like me. And we talked about the challenges that we have in a business of systematically following up people. And as we talked about it, I really related to this sense of overwhelm of when things get busy. And I could see the relief on his face when he's talking about how the software has made his life easier and less stressful. So there's two things going on. One is that I'm getting a recommendation from someone whose opinion I really respect. And then even more importantly, there's this emotional connection or empathy taking place. And documentary sales videos basically replicate that same process. So we like to think of ourselves as being, you know, really logical and rational, but when it comes down to it, we're deeply emotional, sensitive, and often highly irrational, and we make decisions based on emotion. You know, maybe we're trying to fulfill a desire or scratch an itch or ward off fear. So the documentary sales video is basically mimicking that same real-life interaction, but putting it into a film.
Right. So let's talk about some specific examples. I think that would be really helpful to put some definition on this. I want to talk about one that we did. We actually did as a joint venture where my lawyer client, who's not really allowed to advertise because of the type of law they practice, we thought that it'd be a good idea to make a video that explains the emotion behind why they chose to do their profession. Now, you actually filmed that and put it together, and I'm going to ask you in a little bit what sort of steps you would go through to create something like that. But I'd love to hear from you, what was sort of the overall picture? When I described to you what we were trying to achieve, how do you sort of switch into documentary sales mode?
Okay, so we started off with a situation where there were videos there already. There were short videos about the participants on the website introducing themselves and talking about what they do. So these were scripted videos with the people basically looking into the camera. But it's not that easy to do. And unless you're an actor, it sort of looks like people are reading. It just doesn't sound natural. So the idea was to transform the video approach from these one person speaking a script to the camera to a group of people together telling the story. So that's the first step. And I've basically created a structure where I take people through step by step. And that's something that we can go through on the call today. And what I'd like to do before we go through that is just give a little bit more context about documentary sales videos and how they work. And then we can actually work through step by step and use that as a case study.
Yeah, well, I'm also wondering if you would use the same process for the other ones that we've talked about in the past. I've got another customer where we wanted the same message, but it was an automotive dealer and wanted to break down this fear and confrontation that goes on with dealing with a car salesperson. I also know that you've been involved with ones in the athletics market, and I'm not sure how much you can talk about that, but I have been privy to the conversion results on that, and I know that they're very, very happy with the results from that as opposed to a traditional sales approach. So we've got these sort of example after example. And in my own case, on silvercircle.com, we have a documentary style sales piece that leads people to watch a video where I ask them to apply. Since that's gone up, I've had a steady stream of applicants coming in every single month, even though I might be traveling. I have more people applying to join now consistently than before when I just had a me talking to the camera sort of video. So I'm a big convert on it based on my statistical evidence that I've seen. So why don't you just give us more context and then step us through how you go about putting these things together.
Okay, so it's pretty much based on the idea that people respond to stories that they relate to and people that they actually relate to, situations that they find familiar. So we were talking about the idea of having a scripted video, which of course can work in some contexts, but often when non-actors do that, it can come across as quite wooden and contrived. So they generally don't have the same power. You'd have to have people who are really good actors and, you know, a masterfully written script generally those videos are looked at by audiences as being artificial and contrived. And it's hard for audiences to just drop this suspension of disbelief and really drop in and give themselves to the video. And to make something like that work, you really have to spend a lot of money. But with a documentary, it can be more gritty. It can be more sort of quick and dirty or rough around the edges. In some ways, that can actually add to its charm and to its authenticity. So my philosophy is, why make a pale imitation of nature when nature is actually available to you? Because you can actually, in many ways, out-Hollywood. Because like I was saying, people just have this highly attuned nose that will just sniff out fakeness, and people crave authenticity. Our society is so bombarded with these, you know, contrived marketing messages, and we've become so media literate and cynical about advertising that we have our guard up. So what documentary sales videos do is they share these real stories and real situations, things that have actually happened. So you can't dispel or dismiss that. And if these stories are well told, they really make an impact and affect people.
Nice. Okay, so give us a framework we can work with if we want to be putting these out there. And I'm doing this. I'm actually going to make a little one around my live event. I've got FastWeb Formula 5 quickly approaching in March the 20th and the 21st, Sydney. It's going to be on the beach here at Manly, so I'm thinking I'm going to incorporate some lifestyle elements. It's important that people know when they come to my event that they will be also able to do things like ride bicycles, surf, play beach volleyball, walk the foreshore here, experience amazing coffee, food. Oh, and they'll learn about business and marketing, right? But it's such a healthy living thing. And I'm thinking a little documentary around this event is on my sort of work in progress board. So I'd love to get a framework that I could use here that I would be able to put up on my whiteboard and tick the boxes.
Absolutely. Well, let's go through that. So the important thing to focus on is a documentary sales video is basically a story. And there's different ways of doing it. They can be purely observational. So you can actually just film what happens. So for example, it might be, say, how product gets made, or it might be a previous event where you just, you know, capture the images and the stories. You know, what I really like to do in a documentary is to mix that observational footage, which is also called B-roll or cutaways, with interviews. I really like the interview format. I just think it's so powerful. It's first person, it's direct, and you're not only hearing people's stories, but you're getting a sense of who the people are and what they're actually like. So,
would I be able to interview myself off camera?
You could interview yourself. You could have someone who would interview you. And it essentially is the next best thing to meeting someone face to face. So, let's talk about the upcoming event. And you were talking about the idea of capturing not only the experiences people have at the conference, but all of the events around it, giving them a clear picture of everything that they're going to actually enjoy, you know, make it palpable, use music, capture different times of the day to show what the light is like, to, you know, capture the atmosphere, really paint a picture for people. And the step-by-step process that I use to do this is, the first question is really to actually ask yourself, is documentary style video the correct format to use? Because there's a lot of different ways of approaching marketing, and it's important to match the right style with what you're trying to do. So like film and video usually does one of two things. It can take you out of reality, you know, like a blockbuster film. It's escapism, and people love going to the movies for that reason. They want to escape their reality and their problems and be entertained. And the other thing that video does is it takes you the opposite way, deeper into reality. And this is something that news and current affairs shows are sort of meant to do, but they don't always succeed. But the documentary format is good if you have an immediate challenge or problem that you want to solve. You're not looking for escapism. You're looking for a solution for the right service or product. So that's when documentary and authenticity is really powerful. So the first step is to decide, is documentary style video the right format? So for your event, if you want to give people the feeling of what it's actually like to be there, and they're approaching with particular challenges, then it sounds like it would be just the right format. So step two is really being clear on who the audience is. And a good way to do this is to create an avatar of your audience, which is basically a representation of your typical audience. And I won't go into this too much because I think most of your audience has a pretty good idea about how this process works. But it's about, before you start getting into the film, really clarifying what the actual challenge is of your audience and to really be able to articulate how you can help solve it. So, you know, for example, in my business, a large demographic that contact me are people who work in marketing and communications departments, often women, often in their in between the ages of, say, 30 and 40. So it's really important to get a clear picture of that before you actually move forward. So that's the second step, is clarifying who the audience is. And step three is about clarifying what their challenge is, you know, what problem they're actually trying to solve. So we talked about that before, where, say, with your event, if you ask people, you know, rationally, why are they coming to your event, what would be the typical sort of answers that they'd give?
Well, you see, the thing is, this is where I'm really interested in how to go about this. For a lot of them, they will have seen or heard, or they might say something like, well, why bother coming to the event? Because, you know, I can ask you in the forum or whatever. What could you possibly have that's new? Well, the answer is I'm always innovating, so there's always something new. But what I really want to do, like, this is the thing, as I'm riding my bike or as I'm walking around the point watching the surf break, or as I'm out in the water watching the sun come up while I'm on a surfboard and while I'm drinking a coffee, you know, smelling that fresh ocean air, I actually think if people could live like I live, they would be so motivated. They would be so inspired. They would start to feel passionate about their work. When I'm doing something like this, recording a podcast, looking out over the Pacific Ocean, I feel alive. I feel charged. And I'd love to somehow convey that, because I think people, my image of someone, or the typical person, is they're probably lacking sleep. They're up late at night on their computer. They're frustrated as hell. They're trying to figure this stuff out. They haven't got much leverage under their belt. They probably don't have a big team, if at all. They've more than likely got an inbox exploding with the latest $2,000 offer. And this all seems like just a little bit too much effort, a little bit too much expense just to get on a plane and come here. But I want to say that that's exactly what they need to do to see how else you can live your life and how to be inspired by that and to have such a transformation that they would go home and do what it takes to get the result they need to get, especially with that blueprint that I'm going to lay out for them at the event, because we're focusing on conversions. We're focusing on leverage. We're focusing on profit. I'm actually teaching people how to get better results by doing less, and also talking about podcasting, which is what we're doing here, which I'm a huge, huge believer in. So knowing all of that, does that somehow answer your question?
It does, because I think it really crystallizes this idea that I always focus on when coming up with a concept of a film, which is, and it would be the same in when you were selling in the automotive industry, the reason people say that they buy and then the reason why they really buy. And often, you know, the reason that they give is very logical and sensible, and it's not something that they've really thought about. And then when you go deeper, you can actually uncover what the real reason is that people buy, and it's often emotional, which is backed up by logic.
It's totally true. The company director buying an SL55 is expressing themselves in an extended way. They're saying, well, these are my values, this is the power I have, this is what I'm doing to show everyone around me that I've made it, this is what I'm doing to remain attractive to my girlfriend, wife, partner, or whatever. This is how I'm showing to people in the office that they could aspire to be just like me and they should work hard. So there's a lot of stuff going on at an emotional level that's more than just numbers. I mean, you don't pay $400,000 for metal and plastic and rubber and glass. You pay for what that represents and what that delivers you and the way it makes you feel.
Yeah, so this is the thing that's going to make the video successful, is to identify what those underlying drivers are, because often when you put a question to people, they'll talk about saving time or saving money, being more efficient, learning how to do more. And then when you dig deeper, it might be like, if I think about my own motivations for getting on a plane and going to a conference, of course I want to learn things, but I want to have an experience. You know, I want to meet people. I want to get distance and reflect on what I'm doing. I'll start thinking about being in Manly in summertime, then some of those other, you know, lifestyle experiences become very attractive as well. And those are kind of like the key things that are actually going to drive action. So it's vital to kind of identify what that is. So, for example, I'm working on a video at the moment which is promoting an outsourced IT solution for schools. So it enables schools to outsource a lot of their admin work. And when I first ask them about why they would use a service like this, people say, well, it saves me time or it saves me money, which is true. And then once I really dug in deep, then they identified that they were feeling very overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think a lot of people hate their life. And the sort of stuff we do online is a possible scenario that could give them a huge deviation. I mean, to some extent, you coming to Fast Web Formula 3 was a big pivotal point in your life, would you say?
It was an absolutely transformative.
So I need to take I need to take that case study, that user study of someone who came to the event not really knowing so much about the internet space, embracing it with both hands and hanging on tight, and having a completely different life for a couple of years down the track, completely different scenario. That's what I need to tell that story. So, So I've got to work on the challenges that Ryan 2 years ago might have been facing in life and in business, and try and work my avatar through those challenges. Is that what you're saying?
That's right, because once you do, then you identify these key phrases or moments or emotions that are just common to a lot of people. So, let's say it's about, people feeling overwhelmed, then you can start to like clarify what are the messages or the triggers that are actually going to drive action. So, just going back to this example that I was giving of the video that I'm working on at the moment, I have these school principals and business managers who are feeling really overwhelmed. And when they talk about it, you can really see the emotion on their face. You can see how stressed they actually are. And then when they talk about instituting the solution, you can physically see on their face, you can hear in their tone of voice that relief that they're experiencing. So when you film someone and you show that before and after, it's incredibly powerful. So with an event, if you could film me talking about what it was like running my business prior to coming to Fast Web Formula 3, some of the challenges that I was having, or some of the things I didn't even realize that I had, and then the after, what I learned, but importantly, how that actually affected me emotionally. So there might be key things like, people saying, I felt relieved. It was like a weight had been lifted from me. You basically work out what those key phrases are that are going to drive action, and that's what's going to go into the video.
Gotcha. So the triggers.
Yeah. And then it's just a matter of deciding who's actually going to be in the video. So is it going to be you? Is it going to be client stories? Perhaps it's going to be both. So at that stage, it's a matter of working out who is going to be the most powerful way to tell the story. And that's really going to depend on what you want to achieve and the ability of the business owner to really articulate it. I think that client testimonies or case studies are incredibly powerful, because if people can relate to their story, if they can see themselves in that situation, then that's an incredible amount of proof. So you've now basically got a structure for the video. You know who's going to be in the video, and you know what the messages are that are going to drive action. So the next stage is to actually set up the interview, and what's going to determine the success of the interview is the rapport that you build with the interviewee before you actually do it. So I'll tell you a little bit about how I go through that process when I set up an interview with people. Of course, if you already know them and have a relationship with them, that's great. But often it's a matter of, I guess, establishing credibility and trust and showing people that I know what I'm doing. And also that I have their best interests at heart. that don't think this is like a news or current affairs style ambush, that they know that I'm going to make them look good. So I always make sure that I spend time speaking to people either on the phone or at least by email before we actually do the interview. And what I do is I've actually got a short video that I send to people just to give them a little bit of background or context, because often being interviewed is quite intimidating for people. You know, they can feel quite scared or overwhelmed. There's a few people who love it, but for the most part, it can really make people nervous. So just explaining to them how the process works, you know, the fact that you might record a 20-minute interview, but you're only going to use 1 minute. So there's a lot of education that actually needs to go on, and people just need to feel reassured that they're working with someone that they trust. And things like if they make a mistake in the interview, they can do it again. So it's basically my job as the interviewee to help people to bring their best self to the interview. So you can see that, like, we haven't even started rolling yet, but there's so much work that's already been done before we start. And that's actually what's going to determine the success of the video, is all that planning.
Well, I'm just thinking back to just a little while ago, you're saying how the documentary stories aren't scripted like a sales video where the people are looking to the camera. I mean, those things, you know they're looking at a teleprompter. You know that the copywriter's written the word-for-word transcription. Here, it's kind of like you're a puppeteer with invisible strings, and you're trying to help that subject, especially if it's a non-sales presenter, a non-salesperson, maybe just a customer, just trying to tell their story. It's like you've got to do this horse whispering sort of thing to have them working in a way that comes across that doesn't make them look terrible. I know you and I have reviewed some videos with novices where they're doing body language signals that show nerves or that lead you to feel that maybe you can't trust what they're saying or whatever. So you've got to pick your moment out of all that footage.
Yeah, I really like that metaphor, because when you look at like the history of documentary making in the 60s, when cameras first became portable and people would go out on the street and film, you know, real people's stories, in America was called direct cinema, and they had this kind of dream or ambition that they could capture reality in its pure form. In France at the same time, it was called cinema verite, and their idea was slightly different. It was that by bringing a camera into a situation, if you do it in the right way, you can actually spark like a deeper reality or a deeper truth. And I think that's actually much more realistic, because bringing a camera and filming someone, it's going to change them. And it's important, you know, let's be honest, we're not just passive participants putting a camera there and letting reality unfold. We are manipulating it and controlling it, but we're trying to do it in a genuine, authentic way. It was my documentary teacher years ago talked about this idea of lying with integrity, which I think is a really cool concept, because, you know, we are manipulating truth. We're changing the order of things. We're taking bits of people's conversation. You know, we are horse whispering.
Well, you know, I guess you could go down to Manly Beach here and you could make a documentary about why it's so awesome. And I guess you could make one about all the negatives, you know, like the sand in your toes and maybe the pollution after it rains and all this sort of stuff. So I guess you do have the ability through that lens to tell the story that you want to tell, as long as there's some germ of truth to it in the beginning.
That's right. You are the author, and people, for the most part, will pick up if you're not being genuine. So this is not propaganda. This is not kind of manipulating reality to look. People can use these tools in a negative way, and they can be used to lie. So I guess a lot of it is up to the filmmaker to approach it with integrity. But I think ultimately it's going to be self-selecting, because if you don't, they will sniff you out. So now that you've built rapport with the audience, with your interviewee, the next step is to actually do the interview. And there's some techniques that you can use just to help people to relax, like we've talked about, but also to get the right content. So I like the metaphor that you use. I think of it like a shepherd, you know, where the shepherd doesn't like take each sheep and direct them. He kind of like just focuses the direction. And in your mind, you know the sort of content that you're looking for. So you're going to be asking questions which will elicit those sort of answers. It's based on the idea that people have a natural desire to tell their story. You know, people really want to be understood and heard, but at the same time, they're often scared to make themselves vulnerable. And it's our role as interviewers to help people to tell their story, to feel safe, and to be a little bit vulnerable, because that's real. That, you know, people respond to that. And what I look for is the sparkle in the eye moment. You know, when you're watching a documentary and you can just see, people's expression, you can see their face come alive and you can see the sparkle in their eye. It's very engaging. It really draws you in. And people have that experience when they're being real. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Now, talking about being real, like, I think there's this cliched thing that comes up all the time, like authenticity. And as you said, everything's a manipulation anyway, right? So I guess what you're trying to do is bring the story from that interviewee to the surface, capture it, and then you can go and do your wonders with it and maybe blend it into your B-roll or your cutaway. I'd love you to explain that.
Well, authenticity is, you know, it's so important because when you look at most businesses, you know, we like to think that our business is really unique and what we do is so different to everyone else and the quality of our work is superior. But the reality is for most businesses that there are other businesses out there who can do the work just as well as you can. So it's important to be able to stand out from your competition. And I think what, you know, really gives you the ability to do that is giving your audience a sense of what it's actually like to work with you. You know, what you and your team are like as people and how you approach your work so that they actually develop a relationship with you through watching your documentaries. And that's why documentary sales videos are so important. And to make it work, it's actually got to be authentic for you to tell your real story, because if it's contrived, if you're trying to come across as someone that you're not, then people's, you know, finely tuned bullshit detectors will discover that, and it's going to be worthless, or it's going to actually, you know, negatively impact what you're doing.
Nice. So you said before you want to splice these into other, I think you said that you want to mix that in. Do you want to film what happens? So, a B-roll of the surf or a B-roll of people riding bikes or the sun coming up. How do you decide how to mix that stuff in?
So it's important to go in with the plan of particular shots that you want to get. So for your documentary sales video about your event, you've already got those images in your mind of, you know, it might be the sunrise, it might be surfing, coffee, the view, those sort of things. And you actually make a list, which is called a shot list, and you tick those off as you go. So you're actually compiling that footage. The other thing that's really important is that with the content that the interviewees give you, that's going to prompt what your other B-roll or cutaways are. So it's important that you're not just working on your original list, but you can improvise a little bit and create your shot list and update it as you get interviews. So when you're talking to someone, they might be talking about Manly and the surf, and then you know you've got to get that shot. Or they may be talking about feeling isolated, or and there's a particular shot which comes to mind to do that. So basically your B-roll is evidence or proof, and it helps to tell the story in a visual way, because part of a film, the reason that it makes film different to everything else is that it's visual storytelling. It's not just about telling, it's about showing. So it's important to capture those images which help convey your story visually.
Nice. Okay, so I've get this now. So you're editing it all together. Do you use text captions and stuff? I noticed they do that in iTunes for movie previews. They put a bit of the video, then they put like a color slide with a text caption, and then they put music, and sort of they're fading in and out. What's the deal with call-outs and stuff?
I think you can use text to emphasize key points. When you go back to like video editing in its purity, something that I learned to do when I was studying filmmaking is watch a film with the sound turned down. And are you able to understand the story visually without any sound or voiceover or text telling you what to do? So if someone watches your video and they get it just by without even having sound, then you've got something quite powerful. You know, at the same time, you can use text to reinforce keywords, and you can use voiceover to help tell that story. What I think is most powerful is actually just having the participants tell the story. And a lot of the time you won't even need text because it's clear visually what's happening.
That's nice. So, I've been trying to do that with my live presentations, is to just have a picture without a single word on it, and to have the picture be an emotional picture that tells a story. One of them is this picture of these little baby turtles that I found in Mexico. And it's the whole concept of this picture is about nurturing your customers and helping them survive so they can grow up to be big turtles, you know. And the story really does come through on just the slide. I don't need death by PowerPoint or 67 bullets about customer service. People get it. They understand the concept.
I think that's really cool, because the place that a story happens that is most powerful is in your audience's mind. You know, if you just control the story and you spoon feed it to them, it's not nearly as powerful as being evocative and letting them actually finish the idea and finish the story and make it personal. And this is something that, you know, you've talked about in the sales process as well. So you're not just telling people what to do or giving them the information, you are helping them make those links themselves.
Yeah, and I've started reading more about this stuff, like Joseph Campbell, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, which is pretty tough going, but it's fascinating how all the stories pretty much seem to be the same.
It's not a very easy book to read, but I think the main thing that I got from that is when you look at the history of civilization and our cultures, there's some key stories which are told over and over again. And so the idea is that these stories are basically hardwired into the way humans tell stories and share information. And so if you look at different biblical texts from different religions or fables or children's stories, they often follow the same structure. And George Lucas was very interested in the stuff. And you can look at a lot of Hollywood movies which basically follow that same structure. So when you tell a story that has that structure, it's familiar to people. They understand the context. The hero's journey is that classic story which really relates to business, because it's this idea of the individual who was in their normal world and then they struck by a challenge. And they basically need to leave their normal world and go on a journey and go through trials and tribulations and receive knowledge to once again, you know, return with new knowledge and new power to help them grow and to help the people around them. So, you know, it's a wonderful model, and that's why a lot of people use it.
Yeah, I went to the movies with my kids and we watched Turbo, and it had the same story. And I highlighted to them before we went in, I said, this is what I reckon is going to happen with Turbo. And we went in there and it was exactly that story. And my kids were like, yeah, Dad, that's right. I'm like, well, you know, all of the cartoons are pretty much the same story. And it's really interesting when you connect that to what we're talking about here, you should have a recipe for success. So I hear terms like color grading and sweeten the sound and stuff. This is where you're just optimizing the finished product, right? Polishing, is that right?
Yeah, those are the final stages of the editing. And I think one more point I want to make about this hero's journey or story structure is that the ideal is to tell a story that has a familiar structure to people that they understand, but within that there are surprises. So you set expectations and then maybe break them in a small way, and that gets people excited. So it's like the blues, you know, music has a very strict structure, but then a good blues artist will follow the structure and then just do something little that you don't quite expect. And so you go, that's nice. You know, I like that. So being able to improvise within the strict structure is what's going to be most important. So in the actual editing, I guess a bit of a formula that I can share with people, it sounds a bit obvious, but basically you've got to lead with your best stuff. So to give a very simple recipe, take your very, very best shot or best bit of interview and put that at the beginning, because you don't have very long to grab people's attention. And then take your second best bit and put it at the end, because you want to finish with something really strong. And that, to me, is actually the best way to start. Then within that, you've got your story, so you need to just clarify what the rhythm of the video is going to be. Do you want to start off, you know, big and fast with music and fast cutting and really grab people's attention, or do you want it to build slowly? So for instance, your event promotional video might start off really slow. You know, we see The view across Manly, the sun slowly rising, some gentle music, you know, surfers coming out. And on the other hand, you could go a completely different way and you could just throw people right into the deep end with excitement and then break it down and build it back up again, almost like the structure of a pop song.
Right, so this is where the artist comes in, right?
Yeah, this is the beauty of editing, is that you can try so many different ways. You know, we call it non-linear editing because there's many different paths that you can go down and experiment. And that's what I always encourage my editors to, you know, sort of think of themselves like mad scientists and try different experiments and see what works. Because until recently, an editor would be someone who physically cut film and stuck it together. So it would take a long time and you'd lose a frame each time you did that. It would be a bit of a hassle. But with editing programs now, you can really try out different things and show it to people and see the effect that it has. So once you've edited your videos, then that's when we get to things like color grading and sound mixing and all that sort of stuff. And that's the polish. That's like if you build a house, that's the finishings. And you know, if you walk into a newly built house, you immediately get a feel of what it's like. You know, is this something that a builder has sort of hastily thrown together and tried to keep costs as little as possible? You can sort of feel that. And you can also walk into a place that's been lovingly finished off and it's just got that good vibe. So it's important for you to decide at the end of the video how polished, you know, you want it to be. And that's always the challenge with a video, is that time you spend versus the reward that you get, because editing a film never ends. There's no finishing.
Some diminishing return, maybe, where it's like Stanley Kubrick might have been on the outer limit of that.
Yeah, that's right. It's probably not, you know, no real place for perfectionists.
So you have Woody Allen on one side and Stanley Kubrick on the other. Woody will just like, he'll take the first shot he can get and then pack it up so he can go and play his flute. And then you've got Stanley, who'll make like 50 versions of, you know, the same scene, just to, you know, obsessively working it. And then there's somewhere in the middle, probably most other people.
Yeah, that's right. There's I don't know who said it, a film is never finished, it's abandoned. You know, at some point you just go, let's put this out into the world and let it happen. So it's one of those art forms where there is a lot of compromise, particularly in a commercial process. But that's what being in business is about. It's about identifying what's that point that you get to. Is it 90%? Is it 97% where it's just not worth investing any further time? And that's up to each person to decide what that point is.
Okay, so we've done this video. We've basically come up with this idea of what we want to do. We've figured out that it's the right style. We're clear on who it's for. We've figured out their challenge. We know what their triggers are. We've wheeled in some people. We've taken some stock shots and B-rolls. We've put it all together. We've cut it up. We've edited it. We've sweetened it and everything. We put it out there. How do we track the results of this?
So one of the biggest mistakes that I see people making is they don't make a video with a clear strategy on how they're going to distribute it. You know, they might just come in saying, we need a video for the homepage of our website, and there's no clear idea of how it's going to be used, how the video is going to be shared, and knowing whether it's successful. So I know that you love Wistia. You introduced me to it originally, and Wistia is a video hosting platform that's really powerful because it gives you very, very detailed analytics. So you can actually track all sorts of things, like how much the video is watched, and even on an individual level, as you know, who's watched it, what parts have they watched, have they rewatched different sections. And this is giving you really useful information. So the importance of tracking a video is basically you can answer things like, the video contains a call to action at the end. It's important at the end to encourage people to do something, like make a phone call or click here to buy or whatever that action is. Your Wistia stats will tell you how many people are not even getting to the call to action. So you can decide, once you're getting some information, do we need to bring the call to action sooner because not enough people are actually getting it. The other thing that getting these stats is really useful for is for your sales department. So you can actually, if you do a video campaign of a number of videos, you can start to lead score. So you can start to get an idea of, on an individual level, who is watching what videos and what they're particularly interested in. So when a salesperson contacts a prospect, they've actually got some useful information. They can have a relevant conversation about what that person is interested in. And importantly, the salesperson is following up at the right time. So they may well be, what they should be doing is following up once the person's watched the video. So it's fresh
in their
mind.
And we can have our software trigger a response to us to say, call this customer based on that they've watched a certain percentage using Fused App from our mate Jake.
That's right. Yeah, using Fused App with Infusionsoft or Entreport, so automated email programs means that you can start to think about your videos less as like a one-off video and more as a sequence of events, and then trigger actions based on the actions that your audience takes. So if they watch the whole video, you can move them to the next phase. If they don't, you can remind them that the video is still there. Or if they only watch half of the video, that might trigger a different action. So you're actually taking people through a bit of like a choose your own adventure, but you're choosing it for them, kind of based on the actions that they take, which is essentially warming up the sale. And in my business, for instance, at the point when it's time to make a phone call, I can have a conversation with a prospect that is appropriate, that is about what they're interested in, and it's timely.
Yeah, and this is great. And it's working well for solicitors. It's working well for car dealers. It's working well for athletes. It's working well for coaching programs. I just think this is just going to be huge. If someone wanted to commission you to do one of these stories, where would they go?
Visit my website, which is dreamengine.com.au, dreamengine.com.au. There's a lot of resources on the website where you can learn more about documentary sales videos, and you can view some of the videos that we've done already. That would be the best place to start.
Yeah, there you go. And I have hired Ryan myself, so I am a huge fan of the work that he's doing. So I just want to say thanks for coming along and sharing this. Now, I'm going to have a go at putting some video together on my live event page. That'll be at fwf5.com. At the moment, there's a little documentary on there about Fast Web Formula, which is just sort of a teaser. But I will be putting a little documentary about the event at some point. You might want to go along and check it out. I guess it's worth mentioning. And I do hope to see you at Fast Web Formula 5 live in March, Sydney, the 20th, 21st, 2014. Wow, the years are coming through quickly. Ryan, thank you so much for sharing these concepts, and I know that you'll be around to answer questions. If someone wants to ask a question, please comment right near this podcast on superfastbusiness.com. Thank you so much for coming along today.
Absolutely, James. Thank you so much for the chance to come talk to you on the podcast. I love talking about the stuff, so that was awesome.
The passion is obvious. Thanks, Ryan.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.